How do we help people to stay engaged with our preaching and teaching? Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips. This is episode 254, and the title and our topic today is all about how we help people be engaged whilst we have that privilege of teaching and preaching. What's our part in helping people to be engaged and to help those who struggle to be engaged, who may get disengaged? Now, this topic is on my mind because I'm doing a module as part of my master's on issues in contemporary Christian worship. And at this point in the module, we're looking at issues of engagement. And I'm going to build today on the recording I did last week, number 253, on what kind of participation are you aiming for? So you might also want to go and look at that because it has connections with some of the things I'm going to be talking about today. So what kind of participation do we want? Well, at least part of it is we want and hope people will be engaged, or be engaged with this amazing Word of God that has the power to transform lives and strengthen us, and all that we need is in many ways right here. As Constance Cherry says in her book, The Worship Architect, lack of participation, or engagement you could say, is a growing concern among pastors and worship leaders. Passivity is a problem. It doesn't have to do with any particular style of worship. We simply fail to design and lead services that invite and even require the engagement of our people. So she's talking more broadly than about preaching and teaching there, but I want to bring what she's saying there and others are saying, I'll quote in a moment, into the particular area of preaching and teaching. Perhaps you don't think you've got a problem. You think everybody's fully engaged with all of your preaching and teaching. Maybe. But how many sermons and lessons have you taught? If it's one or two, maybe not. But how about if it's your 50th, your 100th, or for some of us, frankly, our 1,000th? And maybe for some of our congregations, it's the 1,000th time they've heard you. How is it going? And you may again feel like, well, I think it's okay. But have you asked people what it's like about halfway, two-thirds of the way back to the back of the room? What measure are you using to assess whether people are truly engaging, really participating in your teaching and preaching? How do you know? We all want what we see in the scriptures, don't we? Like with Jesus in Mark 12, 37, when he's finished a block of his teaching and preaching, and it says the large crowd, Mark 12, 37, the large crowd, okay, not a small group, the large crowd listened to him with delight. That seems to me like they're engaged. They're only going to listen with delight if they're engaged. And he's able to engage a large crowd, not just a handful in front of him that he can personally connect with. Or the Apostle Paul in Acts 19 and verse 8, where it says that he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months. They let him do that. He must have been engaging, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He's persuasive. Clearly that indicates that he's being effective in being engaged right there. So that's what we want. But I must admit, too often, and I only can speak for myself here, that too often I've found that on occasion my preaching and my teaching are not as engaging as I would like to believe they could be. And those moments when it is truly engaging, you know people are receiving something important from God's word, and it is coming through you. Those moments are precious, aren't they? They are special. They are sobering and they are humbling that God does something in that way. And are there some things for us to think about that might enable that to be more the general experience of most people who come to hear us preach and teach? So let's think about a few things here. Firstly, what do we actually want? We need to be careful about thinking about what actually do we want in terms of engagement. We want some kind of engagement. We want perhaps activity that would be in effect. We want people to feel involved in what we're teaching and preaching. We're hoping people will tune in, perhaps even join in, joining in question and answer, joining in some of the banter there might be. We want people to feel like they are taking part in the experience of learning, not just sitting back and being passive. We are hoping that people will give of themselves in the preaching and teaching reception experience, that they won't put up barriers, but they will engage and be thinking about what we're saying and thinking about what's in God's word. And ultimately, I suppose we are wanting, hoping that people will find the preaching and teaching of God's word for them as they listen to be a transformational experience. Isn't that what God wants? That his word doesn't return void. Too often, sadly, we find instead a lack of engagement, a passivity, sadly, sometimes boredom, disconnection. Perhaps sometimes we have the struggle, which is a real struggle, with a performance mentality for ourselves and our audience, maybe expecting us to put on some kind of performance. And I've recorded on this elsewhere. There is a fine line between performance which is artificial and performance which actually enhances your ability to communicate what you're teaching. But that's for another day. But sometimes our congregations can be treating themselves like an audience, even if we're not exactly doing that. Sometimes we sense there is a lack of personal transformation from preaching and teaching, and perhaps a lack of engagement with the world, which I'll come back to in just a moment. Andrew Maries, I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, says this in his book, One Heart, One Voice. He's talking more generally about worship. It's not a presentation or a performance from the front. For the body of Christ to function properly, it requires that every member give themselves to worship. And that's including the teaching and preaching. How do we help people give themselves to receiving and engaging with the word of God? So I'm only going to touch on a few points here, and I'd really like to know what you think would help so that we don't, because what I'm talking about here is not labeling congregations as lazy or, I mean, I'm in a congregation too, right? But how we can help our congregations to engage. We need to bear in mind that there are different reasons why sometimes people don't engage. It can be different people's responsibilities. If you're the overall church leader and you're structuring the service and you're developing a culture in the church congregational worship times, that's partly this is about your responsibility. If you are leading the musical side of the worship, the choice of songs, the way that they're led, that can have an impact even on how the word of God is received. There is a responsibility for the congregation that they must take for themselves as to their own engagement. It's not like we can force anything on anybody. Perhaps sometimes the problem is not actually a person in a way, it's technology, right? Technology can create barriers to engagement. Perhaps the screen isn't visible enough, isn't big enough, isn't bright enough. Perhaps the PA that you're using, if you need one, isn't clear enough or loud enough. There's all kinds of reasons why people find it difficult to engage different people's responsibility. And I think for you to whom I am speaking today, which is your responsibility? How much responsibility do you have, and what area is your responsibility to help people engage? Is it just in the preparation and delivery of the lesson, or are there other areas that you're responsible for? Think about that, make a list, and engage with some people to help you to find ways to make your areas of responsibility areas where you're helping people engage rather than creating a barrier. Bear in mind, when we're talking about engagement, that engagement is not always manifested outwardly. Just because somebody isn't saying amen or sitting up straight and smiling through your whole lesson doesn't mean they're not necessarily engaging. Ultimately, I would say it's the testimony of a transformed life that really matters and is a better litmus test for the effectiveness of our engagement with our preaching and teaching. Overall, I'd suggest that being less concerned about the immediate impact in the room, but more with the medium to long-term impact of the formation of godliness and Christ-like engagement with one another and in the world. This is about the long-term. It's not about a short-term fix. We're not looking to whack the knee and look for the reflex response. We're looking for engagement with the mission that God has given us in all of what that means. We're looking at helping people to live out the fruit of the Spirit, the beatitudinal life. We're talking about helping people to be inspired to be a disciple in the world, bringing the kingdom good news to the people around us. This is what we're talking about. So I would like to know what you think about how we can help the people we have the privilege to preach and teach to be more engaged with what we're preaching and teaching. In other words, how to take it in, how to take it in such that it marinates in their spirit. And they walk away, perhaps very changed at that moment, or perhaps a germ of an idea has been sown such that as they go away and they pray and they read more of God's word and they think about what they've heard, that it will help them to connect with the power of the Holy Spirit in their life to be transformed more into the likeness of Christ. What are the barriers in your context, and what are the opportunities you have to help people be more engaged with your preaching and teaching? Is it about preaching longer or shorter? Is it about bringing more or less current events into the sermon? Is it about more or less of your own personal sharing, of your openness and your own struggles with issues? Is it about the way you structure your lesson? Is it about the use of visuals? Is it about participation, as in physical participation, getting people to get up and move and do things as part of your lesson? Is it about a Q&A with you, or putting people into smaller groups for discussion? What are the things in your context that will help people to engage, not just on an entertainment level and a practical level, but actually to get deeper into the text and make it their own, make the truths there their own? What would help them in your context? Because every context is a bit different. You're different to me. Your congregation is different to the ones I serve. And indeed, different parts of the world, different things will work better. So I'm only lighting the fuse here. I don't know how this is going to go off. I would love to know what you think about these things. How do we help people to engage and to and fight against that tendency that's in all of us to be disengaged when we sit down and start to listen to somebody talk? Let me know what you think. You can email me, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. You can leave a message at the website, malcolmcox.org, or you can leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Well, that'll do it for today. I do hope you have a wonderful week, a terrific Tuesday, and until the next time, take care and God bless.